Hi everyone. Welcome back to the Quantum Recovery Podcast. I am your host, Andia, and I'm really excited today. We are going to talk about blue light toxicity, also known as ALIN, which is for short, artificial light at night. So last time we met, actually the podcast before the last one. So I had given you some homework to do. The homework was to just notice, start noticing your environment. What is going on in the environment? And noticing the lights in your house, noticing the lights out in our environment. So I actually am going to share my screen today. So for those of you who are listening to this, you might want to hop on YouTube to be able to see the slides. So, all right. So hopefully you can see that fine. So our light has really changed in the last 100 years. We've actually only been under the lights that, you know, that were under these artificial lights for the last 100 and actually to be exact, like 131 years. I think that's when Nikola Tesla, he lit up the World's Fair, right? With his electric grid. So we have not been under artificial lights for that long. 100 years, 130 years, that's not that long of a time. So these are just some photos of how we kind of used to spend our time and how we are spending our time now. So you can see that the pool example here, they are indoors. We are most, you know, many times we're indoors, and the massive size of this pool is much larger than any public pool I've ever seen. We tend to go to entertain ourselves in the evening, and we are inside indoors with artificial light on us, like a movie theater or, you know, a stadium where we're seeing a concert or we're viewing a sporting event or something like this. So this environment has really changed. Our light bulbs, so if I asked you to start to notice the environment and noticing your light bulbs, what are the light bulbs in your environment? Are they still the older warm ones, incandescent bulbs? In fact, in August of 2023, they stopped making incandescent bulbs. So if you can find incandescent bulbs, I would highly recommend you buying them. They do use more energy. Hence why the reason they made LED lights. Now, the light bulbs nowadays are really concentrated with that blue spectrum. That is how they are being energy efficient. I know there are people that are, I cannot recall the name right now, but I know that there are people that are trying to make a light bulb where the light is going to be focused on a different part of the electromagnetic spectrum. So when they focus all of that light in one color, that makes the bulb be more energy efficient. So that is why you are seeing these really like bright, bright light bulbs and these bright, bright blue lights. TV screens have gotten much bigger, much brighter. They're much bluer. The phones that we're using, our phones used to be quite small. The screen was quite small. And now they're bigger and brighter. And we do a lot of things on our phone. So we're holding it closer to our face. The outdoor environment, the street lamps, car lights. I know the car lights I've been noticing, I mean, people can buy them in different colors to be fancier or whatever, but the newer cars, they have very, very bright, stark blue coming from them. And they're not on bright. the people don't have their brights on. That's just how bright the lights are. And same with the street lamps. They're getting brighter and bluer. And then just social media in general is really pulling us towards our screens. And we are, you know, inundated with all these notifications and whatnot, which, you know, speaks to all of that dopamine firing that's happening. Our phones in general, quite addictive. That is not the point of this episode today, though. We are going to be talking about the blue light toxicity. So we don't want to demonize blue. Blue does happen in our natural light environment, right? The when we are outside, the brightest part of the day is when UVB light typically is out, which is around noon, depending on the season. Now, some latitudes aren't even going to have UVB light, but that is just when the light is at its brightest spectrum. So during that time of day, it's natural that we're getting that blue light. That light stimulates us. But when it is concentrated, like the bulbs I was showing you, when it's really concentrated, that light is not good for our health. So that's what we're talking about when we say blue light toxicity. We are talking about that concentrated part of the spectrum. Now, it vibrates around 380 to like 500 nanometers, and it has a very short wavelength, but it's the highest energy. Now, UVA light and UVB light that penetrates into our skin. So when you think about it, when you're outside getting sun, what happens when you're outside getting too much sun? Your body tells you. Your body's like, oh, hey, Andia, you're actually at your capacity. We're getting a little bit warm. That's because that penetrates deep enough to hit the part of your epidermis that actually has nerve endings. Okay, so that is the signal that we get. We go seek shade. We go inside. We put a hat on, whatever we do, we can still be outside and getting that natural light, but we protect ourselves. So the blue light's penetrating so deep into our skin that it's actually hits the subcutaneous fat level, right? So that there are no nerve endings there. We have no way to have a warning, Andia, you've been on your phone too long, or you've been sitting in front of the computer too long. There is no warning for this. So the blue light's penetrating deep enough to actually hit fat cells. Now, remember, we don't want to demonize the blue light. So a couple things that I didn't say is that blue light's about a third of our visible light. That's considered blue light. And then also the sunlight is our biggest source of blue light, but it's only 2%. But it's always balanced by the beautiful rainbow, the Roy G. Biv, right? What we learned in kindergarten, I think. So the beautiful rainbow is present outside when we are getting that natural light. But when we go inside, because remember, I have already mentioned this and I'll continue to mention it, we are spending 90% plus time indoors now. Well, what does that mean? That means we're sitting in artificial light. Typically, we all have the convenience. Actually, there's one right there behind me. We all have the convenience when it gets dark outside to flick on that light switch and at any time of day, because we need to see, right? So we need to start thinking about our environment in our homes. What kind of lighting am I using in my house? And the light is above our head. So that is a signal coming down on us. If it's, 8 p.m., sun has set, and I come into this room and I switch on that light, a blue light is going to be above my head. That's signaling to my body that, oh, it's noon again. We need to keep the cortisol running. And I want my melatonin to be kicking in at that time because I want to be having a nice night's sleep. So I am actually not at my house right now. I'm actually at my in-laws' house. So I am wearing, and I do this at my house too. I wear my blue blockers at night, the orange lenses at night. The ones I have on right now are yellow. These are the ones for the day. The reason I have these on, and it's actually daytime right now, it's around 8:30 in the morning, but I am in an older home. So the windows in front of me, I cannot open them. They don't stay open. So I have my blue blockers on. And I take a lot of light breaks outside because I'm on a beautiful farm. So these are the kinds of things that we want to start thinking about. Now, what are the sources of our blue light? I mean, it's kind of obvious, but I am going to list some things. So our computers, our laptops, our phones, tablets, TV screens. Now, I in the past have given you a link and I'll give it again in the show notes to change your screen read on your phone. That's something that you can do. It's free and it will protect your eyes at night. And also, when my phone screen is red, it's not as stimulating to go scrolling at night. It's pretty much like looking at a black and white screen. So it's actually been a really healthy thing to have my phone screen red at night. And then when I wake up in the morning, and if I do need to look at my phone, that phone screen is red. It's not gonna stimulate me. Well, plus I'll have my blue blockers on, but it's not gonna do anything because it's gonna be red. Fluorescent lighting is also blue, and our car lights, our street lamps, all those photos I was showing you, those are all examples. Now, our iPhone screen display is actually at a 455 nanometer peak. Remember, that vibrates at a short wave. That is going to create inflammation at a cellular level in our body. So I'm going to get in the future, I'm going to chat more about this, but for right now, I'm talking about the mitochondria in our cells. That's a little tiny organelle, so a little organ inside the cell. And those little organs inside the cell, they're called organelles. And I'm going to be talking about mitochondria a lot. And we'll do an episode, or I'm going to do an episode where I explain the mitochondria more in detail. But basically, this blue light is creating inflammation. It even raises glucose without you even eating a cookie or sugar or anything like that. It's increasing glucose. There's research about around this. Think about that for a second here. We have an obesity epidemic, right? We're inundated with all of this blue light. And it's only been for 100 and some years that this has been happening. So we're kind of been this like experiment, if you will, even though it wasn't on purpose. And we are seeing more and more also chronic disease. Well, all chronic disease is inflammation. It's inflammation. Now, I'm only talking today about blue light toxicity. One of the other big toxins is non-native EMFs. Also, it creates inflammation, dehydrates our cells. Not talking about that today. And I also just want to mention, I am not, there are many other toxins in our environment that I'm very passionate about educating people around, like forever chemicals and, or PFAS, however you want to say that, glyphosate, other things in our environment that are definitely bioaccumulating in our body. But two of the biggest sources that we cannot see that we need to pay a big attention to really start to heal ourselves at a cellular level are blue light toxicity, blue light at night, ALN, artificial light at night, and non-native EMFs. So non-native EMFs they're not native to the environment. So that's electromagnetic frequencies. Now, natural electromagnetic frequencies are things like the Schumann resonance, getting our electrons from the earth and the light from the sun. Those things are normal, natural things happening in our environment. But the non-native, we're talking about what I'm sitting on right now, a computer with Wi-Fi. This is something that is very important in our lives. It's the reason I can communicate this information to you. But we are, and I work on a computer all day. Many of us, most of us do. And this is something that we want to start thinking about, these two toxins. So going back to the blue light toxicity, that's the main one we're talking about today. So why is it so damaging to our biology? So I'm going to actually be sharing with you this information I learned from Randy Lee in his book, The Mitochondriac Manifesto. It's a wonderful book, and I will put a link to it in the show notes. Our screens and our modern lights, they radiate blue light, and it's 3 to 4 times the color intensity. So we have that intensity happening. Another thing is, like I said before, it is vibrating at around 300 to 465 nanometers. So it's destroying melatonin. This affects apoptosis and autophagy. What are those two things? Those two things are our cell cleanup in our that's happening at night. You can think of it as like this dishwasher that runs at night for our cells. So it's intense. It destroys our melatonin. It depletes our mitochondrial function. So DHA in the retina, dopamine, vitamin A stores that affect vitamin D. It's depleting, very depleting. So it's intense. It just destroys, it depletes. We get it far too often. So remember, we're not modern day, we're 90% plus time indoors. We're exposed for it way too long and also at the wrong times of day. So I've talked about this now quite a bit. And it usually is present alone and it's not being counterbalanced with the frequency of red like we are when we are outside getting natural light. So this keeps us from having our parasympathetic nervous system on. Now, with the autonomic nervous system, we have two paths. We have parasympathetic, which is a calming, and we have sympathetic nervous system, which is from the blue light running on overdrive. In order to heal, we need the parasympathetic nervous system turned on. And especially for those of us in recovery, you know, we need to be doing those things that calm us because our body has been under stress for a very long time and we are trying to regulate and heal from that, all that damage. So that's huge for us, for people in recovery. It also keeps our dopamine depressed. That is huge because our dopamine has already been depressed for a very long time. Some of us decades we used, right? So how long were you in your active addiction? Think about that. And then you're trying to get that dopamine back in line. And I talked during the circadian rhythm and addiction episode a little bit about that, but I'm going to be going into more detail about it in the future. But we have now this intense blue light, it's destroying, it's depleting. We're getting it too often. We're getting it for too long at the wrong times of day. It's present alone and it's keeping our system running on overdrive and depressing our dopamine. Wowzer. That's a lot of stuff going on. Artificial light at night is also going to disrupt melatonin, like I've already mentioned, and that can lead to health problems like memory impairment. It's harder to learn and take in information, creates headaches, not getting enough sleep. Over long term, if we don't get enough sleep, that's actually a neurotoxin. We're also more prone to depression and anxiety. We are going to have disrupted hormonal cues for hunger, which can lead to obesity and a risk for diabetes. We're talking about insulin and leptin. So, insulin being our metabolism hormone and leptin being our energy hormone. I will be teaching more about that in the future as well. But that dopamine deficiency is being low levels, it's leading to dopamine resistance. This is because these receptors are overstimulated and they're becoming desensitized. We do not want to keep them in that state. We want to be healing them. All of our neurotransmitters, not just dopamine, but the dopamine is the big one. In graduate school, we joked that the answer to any question on any exam is dopamine or seek supervision. So we talk about dopamine a lot in recovery because that's the main neurotransmitter we're talking about. But when we do want to keep all of them are important. All of them are important, especially, you know, mood-wise and everything else that we want to get in line. But anyway, so back to the artificial light at night and how it's disrupting our melatonin. There is a connection between artificial light at night and an increase in breast and prostate cancers. And then the research being done with the blue light also leading to cataracts and a damage to the retina, eye fatigue. So these things are really, it's related to a lot of health problems. And we want to keep. We need this to be in our awareness. We want to keep this in mind when we are using the convenience of lights. And I know I'm talking from like us putting really bad substances in our body for a really long time to a light bulb. Like a light bulb has been damaging me for this long. Yes, it is crazy to think about, but yes, the wrong light at the wrong time of day disrupts our circadian rhythm. It makes us at a cellular level inflamed. So it doesn't matter what chronic disease we're talking about here, whether it's addiction, whether it's an autoimmune, whether it's cancer, whether it's diabetes, whatever chronic disease we're talking about. This information is really helpful if you are suffering from any type of chronic disease, because the baseline of it is it's inflammation at a mitochondrial level. We want to heal that. So this information is good, not just for people in recovery, from people in recovery from pretty much anything or are looking to heal in general. Now, next time I'm going to talk about post-acute withdrawal syndrome and make the connection between this so we have a clear understanding. I touched on it a little bit before, but this is a big piece. So we're going to go over post-acute withdrawal syndrome and all of the things regarding that the next time I check in with you all. So until then, have a beautiful day and drink water and call your peers. Have a good one. Bye-bye.